Ladies and gentlemen, from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas. Sports, entertainment, brought to you in stilettos. Your host, Tanya Brennan. Tanya Brennan.
All right, here we go. Here's our tune. We always got to open it up with some Bruno Mars. Welcome to Vegas, Sports Girl. I am your host, Tanya Brennan. It's Tanya time. Welcome to the show and happy Tuesday. It's a rainy Tuesday out there. Not good for my hair. I got to be honest with you. I came in a few minutes late, had to hit the ladies' room and get the flat iron out because my hair just doesn't do well. Anyway, we are so excited to have you. Hope you guys are safe out there in this rain. We have a lot of sports and entertainment to cover, like always, being the entertainment capital of the world. A lot of Vegas Golden Knights news. We got a big game tonight at T-Mobile, some NFL and NBA news, as well as Major League Baseball. We have a few guests in the house, too, that are going to join us. But first and foremost, I want to introduce you to my co-host today. I am so privileged. He is here gracing me and gracing us with his presence. He is the host of Sports X Radio, a veteran knowledgeable sportscaster of more than 25 years and has a strong background by play-by-play in baseball, basketball, and football. Ken Thompson's in the house. How you doing, Ken?
Tanya, it is great to be with you. Yes, a standing ovation. I'll take that. And hopefully the Golden Knights get one of those later on.
Yeah, and I love the attire you have. So you're supporting the Raiders. You walked in with your Raider jacket and you have a Vegas Golden Knights shirt. Our two teams.
Well, two teams, but of course you have two of the Lady Ace is coming in a little bit later. I need to get some apparel there to support our other professional team.
Yeah. Thanks for joining us, by the way. I'm so privileged because you have your show every single day. Tell us more about what you do on a regular base.
Monday through Friday show, and I enjoy hitting all the sports. But as Vegas gets more and more into the sports being just the sports instead of the sports gaming, because it's always been the sports gaming throughout the years. But now with the professional franchises, Golden Knights, Aces, Raiders on the way. And of course, we've gone through different nicknames for our professional baseball team, but AAA team in their brand new stadium, the Aviators. How cool is that? Because they're the A's, just like the A's who they are, of course, affiliated with now.
Now, Ken, how long have you been in Las Vegas?
This will be, I moved here March of 2000.
Okay.
So, you know, this is my 19th year or 20th year or whatever. Was that the Raider jacket falling?
No, it wasn't the Raider jacket. It was like a little issue in the back with the sign.
Okay,
that's okay. We'll get that fixed.
It wasn't my jacket because I don't think the Raiders are going to fall too much. I think they're going to be pleasantly surprising the Las Vegas Valley the year before they get here with all these draft choices and everything on the horizon coming up in about a week from now.
You know what's interesting? You always say live TV. Anything can happen live TV. This is live radio. But most listeners probably wouldn't see that sign crash down, right? But it is a podcast, so I'm sure if you're watching, you probably saw that. But that's okay. Snafus happen. We're glad you're here, Ken. Anything exciting over this past weekend? Did you do anything?
Oh, I did. I flew back to Jersey, the old class reunion.
Ooh.
High school reunion. It is kind of cool to, you know, reconnect with some people. You know, don't always want to reconnect with everybody, but it was kind of cool to reconnect with some people. And some of the other people that have transitioned from Jersey to the West Coast that I'll probably be staying in touch with a little bit more now because they're in close proximity. So that's kind of cool.
Isn't it always weird when you go back to a reunion? Now, we're not going to date ourselves because I'll just say I went back to maybe one reunion.
Right.
But when you go back and you see those that you went to high school with, those that maybe, I mean, let's just put it this way. People change over the years, right? And sometimes you're surprised at what you see years later.
It is. It is crazy one way or the other, you know. But you know what? That's why I say as you get going further and further into the reunions, you're just happy to see people no matter what. But it is kind of crazy how lives change. And some of the gals that I remember looking at when I was, you know, sophomore, junior in high school, not looking at the same way later on in life.
Things change. And they're probably looking at you going, man, you've got everything going on. You're in the entertainment capital of the world with your own radio show.
That's the coolest thing is being
looking
here in
good.
Vegas. And the cool thing is flying back from Jersey to where you realize Vegas is home. So you don't have that same craziness that you had when you were younger, just flying in here to have a good time when you get that feeling that Vegas is home when you've been here long enough.
Don't you say Joyzy?
Joyzy. Yeah,
that's
you know.
That's the best way to say it.
A few cold ones and yeah, the R's and the everything else and the coffee and all that Jersey stuff starts coming back a little.
Awesome. Well, what a great weekend. The weekend kind of flew by for me. As a lot of you know, I moved. So I'm still unraveling boxes. That's not always fun. And trying to purge some of the old and in with the new. But I did watch Tiger Woods win the Master Championship this weekend. That was awesome. He won his 15th major win and his fifth Masters on Sunday. What an emotional win. I got a little teary-eyed when I saw that, picking up his son after he won, giving him a hug. He's been through a lot personally and professionally. Did you watch that, Ken?
You know I did, and my wife knows there's two majors that I do not miss. One, I have to get up a little bit earlier because of the time difference, and that's because my roots are from England and Scotland, so I don't miss the Open. They call it the Open now. It'll always be the British Open to me, but that's my fave, that along with the Masters. The Masters, the most pristine golf course. My wife was watching, just looking, saying, oh my Lord, how perfect that golf course is, and just the craziness. And then finally for Tiger to come through and close, because he's gotten to this pinnacle before to where, oh, wow, maybe he's going to get that 15th major and just kind of tailed off at the end. But he got stronger. And to see Molinari, two double bogeys, this Italian Amazing. Youngster doesn't make those sort of mistakes. So everything kind of aligned perfectly for Tiger to win it.
That was awesome. And of course, he was wearing his championship red. That was awesome. Tiger has not won a major championship since 2008. 43 years old, still has it. He earned over $2 million this championship. So congratulations to Tiger. That was awesome. And then Las Vegas, we've got a big game tonight at T-Mobile Arena. We've got the Vegas Golden Knights. This is one of the best series to watch. I mean, this is so intense. The Knights are playing the San Jose Sharks tonight at T-Mobile. The puck drops at 7 p.m. And this is game four. We had an amazing game on Sunday against the San Jose Sharks. It was nice to come home, play in front of our fans. And we won that game 6-3. Our players are looking sharp. Mark Stone scored 3 points. Paul Stastny scored 2, and Pacioretty with 1. Something about Mark Stone, when he gets them going, they all just tend to score.
Yeah, and he was the last acquisition, and a hat trick. A hat trick is big. When you get a, and that's the thing with this series. When we looked at it at the beginning, because Fleury just coming back off the injury, you're kind of wondering, all right, will he be able to get that flower magic back between the pipes? Will we be able to take out San Jose? And San Jose, a very tough team. And they've been a team that's been a bridesmaid before. They've lost in the Stanley Cup Finals just a couple years ago. They've been right there. They've had a nucleus, and then pieces have gone away, and then still they rebuild. And they always look like they're the team that could finally get that elusive Stanley Cup. They got that 1-0 lead with a 5-2 win against Vegas in the first game, and I thought for sure Vegas is up against it. Yeah, and especially with game two in San Jose. So that, to me, was a telltale game. Didn't want to come back to T-Mobile, down 0-2, get the win, equalize, and then a 6-3 rout the other night. That is huge. But again, you have to take care of business tonight, because otherwise it's even up 2-2 going back to San Jose. Sharks get the home ice advantage back. A Golden Knights victory tonight. We're up 3-1. Just need one of the next three after that. That would be huge.
I know we can do this. I have a lot of faith in this team. The players are clicking. They're on fire. And this is a good time to play in front of their fans. Tonight's game should be exciting. I know that they had for opening ceremonies on Sunday, the entire T-Mobile Arena was lit up. That was really cool. So it'll be interesting to see what's in store tonight. But they do it well. And they do it well on the digital monitors as well.
No, but nobody does it like Vegas does it. And boy, I'll tell you, Foley and the whole crew, everybody from, you know, the maintenance people on down, everything has, or on up, whatever, which way you go, everything has been perfect since his team opened up on the heels of the 1 October shooting last year. And to get as close as they did last year, to get to that Stanley Cup final, that was unbelievable. Then you watch this team struggle a little bit with some of the different transactions they made during the season, and you knew Stastny and Pacioretty are scorers, but you thought maybe they're missing a little bit of the rough between the edges, as my buddy calls it, the sandpaper that you need to kind of set up the other guys that are going to get the glory. And they made that Stone deal, and everybody's like, is this the piece? And then they signed him to an 8-year extension, And so he feels comfortable. Okay, my roots are here. And they get off to a great start when they first get him. And then they struggle a little bit and then flurries out. And so you don't know. Going into the playoffs, he only had two games to kind of get, you know, the rust out. And they lost both those games. So you're thinking maybe they're in a little bit of trouble. But they bounce back with those last two wins. I think it's going to be outstanding. I think it's going to be a lot of fun, Tanya. And if we can get the win tonight, I have no doubt we'll close out the Sharks.
You mentioned how difficult it was for that Knights organization last year to lose so close in the Stanley Cup. My heart was broken. I know all of us, our hearts were broken. But still so proud of them for making it that far in their first year. George McPhee, general manager, and I spoke about this, and he said, that was probably one of the toughest losses I've ever faced. It's almost as much as you want to get to that final championship game, to lose it that close, it stings.
Yeah.
So I know they can do it.
I agree with you 100%. But like you said, just to get that far, and you just don't see it. Although I do remember one guy in the NFL, and you know your NFL pretty well, Dan Marino, his rookie year, went to the Super Bowl. Never went back. Never went back. So let's hope that that doesn't happen to the Golden Knights. I really think they're playing great hockey right now. Chemistry's there. Continuity's there. I think if they take care of this series, they have a good chance to maybe go a step further than last year. And the reason I say that is because Tampa Bay, the number one team in the NHL, finished 21 points ahead of any other team in the NHL, down 3-0 to Columbus, who was the last team to get in the Eastern Conference. They have to win 4 straight just to get past that first round series. So we'll see if they could do it. Game 4 is in Columbus tonight.
So if we actually win the game tonight, and let's just say we win this series.
Okay.
Do we know, we don't quite know yet who we're playing in round 2?
No, not yet. But
any guesses?
Boy, you know what? I don't want to guess, and I've got to see the way the bracket is set up, but I know Winnipeg got off to an 0-2 start. They won their last game against St. Louis, so they're going to try and even things up. And again, home ice advantage is not what it used to be in the Stanley Cup playoffs. A lot of teams are able to go on the road now and kind of drown out that crowd and take care of business. So we'll see what happens.
Well, what's great, I know when I watch the games on the road, our fans travel.
Oh, they travel well.
And I love it because every time they do that national anthem and they get to the Knights, and you can hear our fans kind of yell that out in the crowd. And I noticed in San Jose, their fans actually booed us because our fans were trying to, you know, win them out.
That'll happen.
Anyways,
go on the road. Yep.
All right. Good luck to the Vegas Golden Knights tonight. Hopefully they win tonight, and best of luck to them in this series. Other scores in the NHL, you already talked about. Tampa Bay, man, crushing the Lightning. They lead the series 3-0. Leafs over the Bruins 3-2, and Predators over the Stars 3-2. Avalanche over the Flames 6-2. It's real interesting with some of these games. There's huge margins, and even Ovechkin the other night in that game, that was a 5-0 loss for the Capitals loss. I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, but they still have a 2-1 lead because they won both their games at home. And that's the thing. Calgary Flames, again, they finished with the most points in the Western Conference during the regular season. But the regular season's the regular season. They won the first game of their best of 7, but they've lost the last 2 to Colorado. So now the Avalanche, the 8th seed, going up against the 1st seed, they have an advantage of 2-1 as well. So best of 7, that's why I like the NHL, because they do it. It's best of 7 every single round, where you get a lot of these other series, Major League Baseball, they'll do best of 5 the first round. So you don't feel like you get a true gauge to where best of 7, to me, it's all there. It's all left on the ice.
It's great. 18 years ago, I would have never guessed we had a pro baseball team and a hockey team, as well as an NFL team coming to this city. And now we've got WNBA. So it's really exciting as a Las Vegan to see the growth and the evolution of sports in the city. You know, we kind of hit that culinary world where we had the top chefs here. We have the best gaming properties here, and now we have sports. So it's very, very exciting for us.
Tanya, you and I know it. There's no other place I'd rather live than Las Vegas. And I don't say that just because I live here. I had a choice to move a couple other places that I liked weather-wise. But Vegas truly is the only 24-hour town. And growing up in Jersey, my dad was from Brooklyn. So New York, that's all we used to hear. City that never sleeps. And then I remember getting a little older. And between, you know, like 2:30 in the morning and 5:30 in the morning, everything was closed. Vegas, not the case.
That's awesome. All right. Good luck to the Knights tonight. I want to thank our sponsors, Finley Volvo. Go visit Jim DeGiulio on West Sahara and buy a Volvo. They're great cars. And the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. Also, check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. We are on Google Play, iTunes, and you can actually place bets on our website now. So go there and place your bets. And I'm going to ask you later, too, how you feel the best way to place bets are, especially coming up. We've got a big sports season coming up. I want to get your thoughts on that. So anyhow, we have two special guests joining us this hour, so stay tuned. They are from the Las Vegas Aces. I'm so excited about that. And we've got a lot of sports still to cover from NBA and big NFL news today for the Seattle Seahawks. So stay with us on Vegas Sports Girl. Turn it up. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. My guy, Ken Thompson, is in the house today. Ken, I'm so glad you're here. You're awesome. You know that, buddy?
You know, what's cool is I think you got this as well, that not only do we have the Las Vegas Aces and a couple of the gals coming in studio, but also tickets for AT&T WNBA All-Star Game 2019 went on sale today on Tuesday.
That's going to be awesome.
There you go.
I can't wait to talk to those ladies. They are so talented, and it's going to be exciting to hear what is on the horizon for them. All right, so we've got Las Vegas Aviators. They had a big game against Fresno. Seth Brown hit 3 homers, and they beat the Fresno Grizzlies 7-6. Today, they're taking on Sacramento. They're there for a few games this week. What a big opening last week for Las Vegas. Did you happen to attend any of the games?
You know what? I didn't, and I was getting ready to go out of town, and I know the first day was that windy, windy day, and everybody's just like, gosh, as long as everything doesn't blow away, and they battened down the hatches. They had a great turnout, and I know some of the people had to kind of run for cover for a little bit because it got a little bit crazy, but still a sellout crowd, and that crowd was outstanding. I mean, to brave the elements, and again, we're so spoiled here, you know, we whine a little bit when it gets to 115 because those of that have been here for a while, 110, no problem. But, you know, just to see everybody out there. And Don Logan has been a mainstay in the Vegas Valley for a long time. And Jim Gemma is a great guy, always helping out. Yeah, I mean, these are just great people with a great organization. They saw the vision that Summerlin could be the place to get this new stadium going. And boy, from the pictures that I've seen, I can't wait to make it out there within the next week or so. But it looks outstanding, and it looks like a great time. And the team is playing well, mm-hmm. now affiliated with the Oakland A's, but really playing great ball. And they got it off to a great start in El Paso, and then they didn't skip a beat. They just keep winning games.
Isn't this great? Maybe all of our teams will just...
I know, we're getting spoiled.
Sweep, you know? You never know. We got the Raiders coming, too, so that's going to be exciting as well for us. And Jim Gemma is a great guy. We talked today. He said, sellout crowd. Fans, family, they were having a great time. Good concessions. Just a whole different vibe. And just a couple blocks away, we've got ice, right? So baseball and ice here in Las Vegas. We've got a couple big games in Major League Baseball. Angels play the Rangers today. Royals will take on the White Sox, and the Rockies will play the Padres. I want to get out to a baseball game. Take me out to the ball game, you know, get my hot dog and my soda or beer and just enjoy the relaxing time. But what a great opportunity for families and very affordable tickets too out at the Aviators Stadium. We do have big news in the NFL. Big news. You know, I always say, even though it's off season for the NFL, there's always drama and there's always something going on. Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks come to an agreement. A 4-year extension for Russell, their quarterback. They now have their franchise quarterback, $140 million. And apparently this deal was not done until late last night, close to midnight. There is a $65 million signing bonus. So now hopefully Seattle Seahawks can focus on taking care of some of the other players and the needs they have for their roster. But a lot of quarterbacks right now are coming up. Their contracts are going to be up for renewal. It's going to be interesting to see what happens. So Russell is the leading, I guess, if you want to say, salary maker over Aaron Rodgers now. What do you think about that?
Well, Aaron Rodgers is, you know, I don't want to say in the twilight of his career, but he's getting up there a little bit. And Russell Wilson has paved the way for perhaps this year's 2019 number one pick, Kyler Murray. And we saw last year Baker Mayfield going in the first round early. There's a different style. Patrick Mahomes, we saw Kansas City trade up to get him to see the potential in the way, number one, the rules have changed as far as for quarterbacks to where once you get outside the tackle box, you can throw the ball to the line of scrimmage, throw it out of bounds. You can throw it in the stands. Doesn't much matter. As long as you get it to that line of scrimmage, there's no grounding. And then also you can take off and run and you can slide foot first and they can't touch you. And for somebody like Kyler Murray coming in who played baseball throughout his life, shouldn't be a problem. Patrick Mahomes, we saw him do that all last year where he just gets outside the tackle box one way or the other. And he knows he has that opportunity to throw that ball away if there's nothing there, if there's no open receiver. So it's kind of catered the game to the quarterbacks a little bit more.
It's going to be interesting to see what the NFL Arizona Cardinals will do with that first pick. Do you anticipate them looking at a Kyler Murray adding to their roster? No doubt.
It's Kyler Murray. There's nobody else. Keim, the general manager, the new coach, Kingsbury, who said that he would take him number one if he were ever an NFL coach with that opportunity, gets to be that coach with that opportunity. He likes Kyler Murray. Again, the game has changed, and so the Cardinals, who need a lot of help in a lot of different areas, sure, they can trade down, maybe get a couple more picks, but there's no guarantee with those picks. They will be all in with Kyler Murray. So if he makes it, those guys that are pulling off the draft, they're going to be held in high praise in Phoenix. If they don't, they'll all be packing, including Murray.
Speaking of the draft is April 25th through the 27th in Nashville, Tennessee. That's going to be interesting. A lot of NFL teams are already having preliminary meetings with potential college prospects for the NFL. We talked about Kyler Murray, and Nick Bosa is another one. It's going to be interesting to see if the 49ers select Nick. Despite his injury, he's a talented guy. But the draft is always exciting, and a lot of the teams have shown up this week for camp, practice. I know, speaking of 49ers, Jimmy Garoppolo showed up with their team, as many other players in the league. April 19th is the deadline for restricted free agents to sign their offer sheets. But tomorrow, here's what's exciting. All of the schedules are released by the NFL. So it's going to be awesome to see who the Raiders are playing, who the Patriots are, who they're playing in the AFCs. That's always fun for me to see.
No, it is always cool. And now you get the actual dates. And so for us that are going to be focused in on the Raiders, for those that don't have a team or are still on the fence, and the Raiders are one of those teams. They're kind of like the Yankees in baseball. You love them or you hate them, but you're going to watch. And Raider fan has had to travel, and of course, L.A. to Oakland, or Oakland to L.A. and back to Oakland. And so, you know, kind of a vagabond a little bit as far as where are they going to stay. But to me, Raider Nation is Raider Nation, Tanya. But I feel bad a little bit for the people up there in the Bay Area. I'm well connected to a lot of folks in the Oakland area. But to me, when you get the team back from Los Angeles and you have the opportunity now with one of those 32 NFL teams, get the stadium out of the way right away. They're the only team that every September, late September, we look out there and what do we see? Kickoffs from a dirt infield of a baseball field. You don't need to see that. There's too much money involved in these sports. Everybody should be playing on a football field, not sharing a baseball field with somebody else.
So let me ask you your thoughts on Antonio Brown and the Raiders. Derek Carr, I know that they also met with Kyler Murray as well. Mm-hmm. What do you think Antonio Brown will bring to that organization as far as offense? I mean, Derek Carr has a strong threat. What are your thoughts on that?
Okay, a couple things. Last year, and I ended up doing a local Raider postgame show after each game, so I watched every game very intently because we had to choose awards for these different plays and players and different areas of the game. The Raiders were decimated on the offensive line. They addressed that. They grabbed Colton Miller from UCLA, left tackle. They're now moving him over to the right side because of the pickup, the acquisition of Trent Brown from New England, who's going to be the left tackle. The offensive line and the defensive line, by the time they go into the regular season in September, you will not recognize these two parts. as we call them, in the trenches for the Raiders, because the Raiders will be very busy on draft day. Kyler Murray will go number one to Arizona. When the Raiders get their pick, their first pick at number four, if they don't decide to trade up, which I don't see any reason why they would, I anticipate number two, the Niners grabbing Bosa. Number three will either be Josh Allen or Quinnen Williams, I believe, going to the Jets.
The Jets.
Then the Raiders will grab the other one of those who was not drafted. To me, whether it's Quinnen Williams or Josh Allen. The Raiders also met with Clelin Ferrell out of Clemson, another good, solid defensive player. Met with him today, as well as with Josh Allen. So the Raiders would love to have those two guys to be part of this immediate pass rush. They have Arden Key from LSU, left over from last year, who showed a lot of maturity. He matured during the season and is a guy that just needs to put up on a little bit of upper body strength. He's got that speed around the edge. And the Raiders, even though they lost Khalil Mack, they are going to make do with what they're going to get from this draft, as well as all the free agency signings. I said that I thought that 30 of the 53 Raiders from last year would be back. It may not be that many. As far as Derek Carr, I think the Raiders stick with him because Carr, we saw how good he was a couple years ago when he had a little bit of time to pass. Last year, he didn't have much time to pass. He needs to get with the rules as well, and I think they'll work on that with Mayock and Gruden to get him outside the tackle box so that he's not always vulnerable sitting just back in the shotgun, to keep defenses off balance, roll right, roll left. Just keep them off balance a little bit. Now you get some continuity on the offensive line. You bring in some new weapons like Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown's going to bring leadership. He's going to bring somebody that knows the game on the field. And he's a big-time player. One-on-one, you're probably not going to stop him because he knows how to play defense if the ball's badly thrown. And he knows also how to go up and get it amongst two defenders. So I think it's a great acquisition. And to give up only a third round and a fifth round choice for Antonio Brown, the Raiders got a steal there.
I agree with you on that. And I think that during that free agency, during this season, they did very well with other acquisitions. It's definitely going to be interesting, and we can look at this as the building block for our team in the future. So we're going to be tuning in to seeing what they do in adding their elements.
And then, of course, Kansas City. Kansas City got weakened. They lost several players as well. And then the Raiders also grabbed Williams' receiver from the Chargers, and that weakens the Chargers a little bit. So sometimes when you can make those signings and you can actually help your roster and hurt one of the rosters inside your own division, that's kind of a daily double right there.
Absolutely. I think some of the biggest question marks I have, just as a fan, someone really tuned into the NFL, what are the Redskins going to do as far as a quarterback with Alex Smith potentially still being injured? What are the Giants going to do this draft? There's always some big question marks, as well as the Pittsburgh Steelers. I know that they have to fill some of those positions on their roster and a lot of question marks. So we shall see, right?
Yeah, no, it'll be interesting. And you see all these different mock drafts. For the most part, I'd say about 6 months ago, there might have been 15% of the draft experts that had Kyler Murray going number one. With Kingsbury being there now and all the talk, I mean, there were still a lot of doubters. But to me, again, the way the rules are set up for the quarterback now, Kyler Murray, even though he's only 5'9", 5'9 and a half, whatever it is, if you're not standing in the pocket throwing to where these massive offensive linemen are getting their hands up all the time, if they're not in your face, then you've got a chance to make a play. And Kyler Murray, to me, what he has even more so than Russell Wilson, even more so than Baker Mayfield, is the way that he's able to turn on a dime and go right to left as quick as anybody that I've ever seen. And I think some of that comes from maybe all the time stealing bases, going back and forth, because he did that a lot in the baseball on his way up. And, of course, people know that he did get drafted by the Oakland A's, actually got a $4 million signing bonus before giving that back and deciding that football would be his first opportunity as far as a professional athlete.
Real interesting. A lot of NFL news. I know we have two special guests that will be joining us here in the next few minutes, and a little bit of NBA news when we get back from the break. So stay with us on Vegas Sports Girl. This is how we do it. All right, we're dancing here in the studio. Welcome to Vegas Sports Girl, and we've got another little chuckle going on here. We've got lots of activity here in the studio, and is this like did the lights go out?
Yes.
Did the rain?
Side knocked out the light.
Oh, very nice. Okay, well, why don't we just Hey, can you turn those lights on right there? Yeah, perfect. All right. Welcome back to Vegas Sports Girl. You know, a little snafu today. It's just the rain. I think a little weirdness is going on. But anyways, we've got some special guests in studio from the Aces basketball team, and we're going to get to them in just a couple minutes. Glad you're with us. We're going to talk a little bit of NBA news. I know there's a lot of stuff going on in the NBA. We had a big game last night. I don't know if you watched this, Ken. The Warriors and the Clippers. What a game. Did you see that?
I saw part of it on the way back, flying back in from Jersey, and that's the cool thing. Nowadays, you can pick up some of these games on TV. And there it was, lo and behold, a game that most people thought was over. I mean, I just wonder, because we have what's called in-running wagering here in Las Vegas. I doubt they had it up, but Golden State ahead of the Clippers by 31 points. You would think it'd probably be like a dollar to win, like, I don't know, $2 million. I mean, for Golden State to lose that game, absolutely phenomenal. But Doc Rivers, the Clippers, they never quit. You know what? It's one of the most improbable stories that you'll see in sports, and hopefully it doesn't get overlooked. We'll see what happens. A lot of people think Golden State will bounce right back and crush the Clippers mm-hmm. in L.A. I'm not so sure, because sometimes a game like that can be devastating, especially with all the rumors of Kevin Durant going to New York.
Absolutely. And it's never over till it's over. This was the second largest comeback in NBA history. They trailed by 31 points. So congratulations, right? I mean, to the Clippers.
It's amazing. It's
crazy.
It is a Clippers team, too. When they traded Blake Griffin, a lot of people looked at this franchise saying, they're just gutting this franchise. They don't care. They're going to be a cellar dweller. You bring Jerry West into the upper management, man, and things happen. It's a Clippers team. I mean, again, we're looking at Tampa Bay right now, number one team in the NHL, down 3-0. It's the playoffs. We're looking at Golden State, a team that basically people just think they can turn it on, turn it off. They lose Boogie Cousins in the game, and now it's 1-1. We'll see what happens in L.A.
Did he go out with an injured quad?
He is done, yeah. And the way things are, and Asia and Carolyn will tell you, you know, they sandbag a little bit as far as these injuries. They think these people are going to get right back in 3-4 games. Trust me, when you hurt the quad and you tear the quad, you're done for the playoffs.
Right. Well, speaking of the Aces, let me introduce you to our two special guests today. Asia Wilson, second year forward, 6'4". They came in here. I was like, wow, so tall, gorgeous, statuesque, and so like slick on the basketball court. And Carolyn Swords joins us, 8th year. Ladies, how you doing?
Doing well.
Doing well, thanks.
You guys made it here in the rain?
Yes.
We did.
So let me just brag about both of you individually for a second here. Asia, you were the number one overall draft pick last year in the draft. 2018 WNBA Rookie of the Year. In 17, you were the NCAA Consensus Player of the Year. And you played overseas in China. But in 16, you were also the NCAA champion at South Carolina.
Yeah.
What honors. And then I was blown away. Carolyn, you've actually been in the league for 8 years. You played for Coach Lambert in New York in 15 and 16. You're the second most veteran player on the roster.
Yes.
So this is kind of cool. We have someone new, right, in the league. And then we also have a veteran. And you also played overseas in Poland, Australia, Italy, Spain, and Turkey. And you won the July 2015 WNBA Cares Community Award, Assist Award, excuse me. And I do want to talk to you both about what you're doing in the community. But first, let's talk about the Aces.
Yeah.
What are you learning? Can you learn from each other being in the league for 8 years?
Yes.
And Asia, you now, this is your second year. Tell us more about that.
Yeah. I mean, Carolyn is definitely the person that I probably look up to on the team. She has probably the best basketball IQ on our team. And so, you know, when you have a vet like that on your team, you have to just feed off of their energy, feed off of their knowledge. Like, I hope when I'm 8 years into the game, I hope that I can have half the basketball IQ Carolyn has. Because, I'm the second year. I'm still kind of a rookie in the mind. So I'm just like, whatever, I'm going to play, whatever, whatever. But Carolyn's like, no, here's why you should do this. And I can greatly appreciate that. Just as a player, you always need that person in your locker room. So I'm definitely grateful for Carolyn. She's really got me through pretty much all last year being a rookie.
Carolyn, in your years in playing in the WNBA, what do you feel you bring most to the team?
Well, thank you, Asia. That was really that was wonderful.
I'll see you later.
Well, that experience is really, really valuable. I've learned through playing and watching film, and it's helpful that this is my second go around with Coach Lambert. You know, the level of play in the WNBA is just so high, especially right now, that you have to understand who you're playing, what the scout is, what they're trying to accomplish. And same thing, they're trying to scout us. And so being able to read our options, be able to use our strengths, like Asia here, make sure that we're giving her the ball on time where she wants it so that she can be successful. So just helping to teach, and that's the part of the game that I like the most. I really enjoy studying the game, understanding why someone is going to defend a certain way, and when you can kind of outsmart the other team, that's really satisfying for me.
How much of what you do is mental?
Everything.
Okay, yeah, I was about to say probably like 99%.
Sure.
It's like
sure.
Pretty much mental, because you know you have to read so many different things, not just your defender but other defenders on the court, and you should know kind of where your teammates are so you can get the best shot on the floor. So it's a mental game more so than anything, especially at a young age coming in. You really don't understand that just yet, because in college it's kind of like go play, it doesn't matter how you feel, just go. But at the professional level, like, you really have to know and be mentally prepared for every possession, which is hard, but you get through it.
Yeah.
What do Las Vegans, what basically can you say Las Vegans should expect this upcoming season?
I think they should expect a really exciting time at Mandalay Bay anytime that they show up. We had a great start last year. Our fans were fantastic, incredibly loyal, provided great energy for us. Yeah. But every game comes down to the final minutes, and it's, you know, one way or another, a couple points here and there. We're looking forward to, you know, this has been nice. Asia and I are having a nice little reunion as we're getting back into
right.
workouts. We're looking forward to the rest of the girls joining us. So we're excited to kind of pick up where we left off and keep pushing forward.
Yeah. Carolyn, of course, Bill Laimbeer, his own storied career as far as a player, and now, of course, doing a nice job coaching in the WNBA. But because it is your second stint go-around with New York and now here with Las Vegas with Coach Laimbeer, I would think some of the gals, especially the younger gals like Asia, like, all right, what does Coach mean by when he's doing this, or what should I expect mm-hmm. when he's doing that, mm-hmm. or how mad is he? You know him better than I do.
Yeah, so I mean, I love playing for Coach Bill, because he demands such a high level of play from all of us, both in terms of effort, but in terms of the basketball IQ. So there is a bit of a learning curve in terms of, you know, some of the terms that we're using. We're going to yeah. guard screens a certain way, and you yell this word instead of what you would say in college. And, you know, our defensive schemes are a little bit different. So being able to kind of help provide those keys and little cues and is something that I enjoy doing, and I think it helps if, you know, if I can quickly say like, hey, this is what we're going for, then okay, and then, you know, get back on the court and keep working. But anyone who plays for Bill is going to learn a ton about the game. They're going to have a great time doing it, and you know, so we're all excited to get going.
Share with us your workout regimens. That's always Ooh. Interesting to me, because you're so in shape, you have so much stamina, and yeah. going back and forth down the court is not an easy thing. It's major cardio. Tell us about
yeah.
your...
Yeah, speaking of cardio, yeah, we can definitely just talk about kind of what we did today. Around 1 o'clock-ish, we really kind of get in the gym and just start working. But I think the key to it all is just your motor skills, stretching, making sure you're stretching right, making sure your body is balanced and moving the right way. So we spend a good amount of time on that. And then we have to do 30 minutes of cardio every single day. Mm-hmm. It could be with the ball or without the basketball. It's up to you. It's up to our trainers. But we make sure, our coaches really do a great job of making sure that we can knock that out within our workout. So it's not as hard. We're just moving up and down the court. It is definitely harder when you have 2 people versus like 5 people that like yeah. own a team where you can rest right. in between reps. But I mean, it's just getting your heart rate going. And for us, we play kind of the same position. So we work really in the paint moves and around the elbow area. So all around the paint, we just really work on how to read the defense, how can we get around and reading different things and different schemes in that way.
Yeah. In season, we're probably in the gym for about 6 hours a day, because mm-hmm. you know, we want to make sure that we're staying strong and yeah. preventing injuries. So there's some sort of lifting involved, any rehab. We're you know, I'm a little older than Asia is, so it takes you know, I have to make sure that I'm nice and warm before practice starts. Then we have our time on court with coach, and then afterwards, like any individual work. So it is a very very structured routine. But then when we're in season and we're playing a lot of games, it's going to be a lot more mental. So we're going to walk through some things, over schemes and maybe watch a little bit more film, but we're not going to exhaust ourselves if we have another big game within a couple days. So it kind of varies, but it's pretty full on. Yeah.
Last year, you gals got out of the gate a little bit slow, but then you had a really nice run.
Yeah.
A lot of pressure on Dallas. Had a chance to get that last spot. Fell a little bit short. Maturation-wise, Asia, I know you learned a lot because you were the queen bee there, South Carolina.
Yeah.
And, of course, college basketball. But this is a taste of defeat.
Yeah.
So I would think coming back this year, you're going to learn a lot from maybe how you came up a little bit short last year.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think in the beginning of last year's season, that was probably the most games I've lost out of my whole 4 years in college. So I wasn't used to losing. Like, I didn't know how to feel because I've never really been on the other side. But it really just kind of helped me grow as a player because I needed to feel that. I needed to feel like I'm in that hole, but how can I still produce for my team to get out of it? And I think later on down the stretch, you really saw the aces. You really saw who we were because we had that chemistry. We knew each other. We've been around each other for a good bit. We know what each other likes and things like that. So I think later on down the stretch, you really saw our identity and who we are. And of course, we would love to get that playoff spot, but I think we really grew in that shorter period of time where we were losing. It looked a little ugly at times, but towards the end, you just saw the growth of a young team, and I was greatly appreciated with it. So yeah, it is tough. It is tough to kind of be in that situation. But now coming in this year, we know each other. We know what Bill expects from us, and we know how to really lean on to each other. So I believe we're going to have a better start.
Yes. And it's always a process.
Yeah,
absolutely.
You understand and learn the process. And then from those, from those games, you tell yourself and you learn, I don't want to feel this again, or I want to feel more of this in winning the series. As a female, I have so much admiration for both of you and just the team being here in Las Vegas. Yeah. What do you guys think of the growth of sports in this city, just in general? I mean, it's crazy, right?
Oh, it's so exciting. You know, I'm from Boston originally, so big sports city. Mm-hmm. So for me, it was really interesting to come to a place where we're starting that, or, you know, helping to be the beginning of that for people who have been living here. It's a really exciting time to be an athlete in Las Vegas. This is definitely a sports town. I think the fan buy-in that you've seen across the board, that's not something that just, you know, comes out of nowhere.
Sure.
So I'm really appreciative for the way that we've been welcomed to the city, how our fans continue to show up for us and they follow closely, and, you know, they're excited about our draft pick and they want to know what Asia's up to in the off season. So we love being here. We appreciate Las Vegans, and we hope they come out and support us year two.
Awesome.
I know you got to go to break real quick, but Asia, your number one overall pick. Yeah. Kelsey Plum was number one overall pick. Yeah. And now Jackie Young this year is number one overall pick. And I know a little bit of, I don't want to say nepotism, but Notre Dameism, basically, with Lambeer's connection there to Notre Dame, to Jackie Young. So you're going to take her under your wing and let her know what it's like being the number one overall pick.
Yeah, I'm going to definitely try. But at the same time, she's built for it. She's built and she's ready to come and play at this level. So I'm excited just to bring in another number one and just kind of get the feel for everything.
That's great. You guys can stick around for a little bit longer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome. All right. We have two guests. You guys are awesome. So excited. We do have to go to break. We have more news after this break. So stay with us on Vegas Sports Girl. I'm out of time and all I got is whole minutes. Whole minutes. I'm out of time and all I got is whole minutes. Woo! Here we go. Back to Vegas Sports Girl. And we've got Asia Wilson and Carolyn Swords with us from the Aces. Ladies, you had your workouts today.
Yes, I know.
Back into the swing of things.
Yeah.
And we were just talking at the break. There are you have 12 ladies on the team total.
Yes.
Right? So I wanted to ask you, obviously the goal of the Aces is to win basketball games. Mm-hmm. How important is it to both of you about winning in your community? And I want, you both do so much and you give back.
Yeah.
How important is that as an athlete?
Go ahead, see, I'll go ahead.
I mean, incredibly important. We are successful because of our fans in Las Vegas. We know that a lot of people give so much so that we are able to be here and play here. And then I think recognizing that when we were growing up, we had role models to look up to, whether it was a local university. The WNBA was around when we were growing up, so that we had a really unique opportunity to see women can play professionally. So now knowing that we can be a tangible role model for not just the girls who are playing sports here, but for the young boys, for families, you know, just a great opportunity to connect with the people here, with our fans, and then recognizing that we have a platform and an ability to just touch lives one way or another.
Before Asia, I want to get your input too as well. Carolyn, you actually helped the ACES start the Lace Up Mentorship Program and the Slam Dunk Health Challenge.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
We're really excited. The mentor program is, we selected three high school basketball teams from Clark County School District. We're going to have them be our mentees for the season. So they'll have an opportunity to connect with four of the Las Vegas Aces each. We are going to get them on court, teach them some of the skills to be successful at the next level. But more importantly, I think talk about things like college readiness, financial literacy, help them kind of build a roadmap for whatever comes after high school for them. So we're excited to have kind of, you know, multiple touch points with the same girls. And then the Slam Dunk Health, you know, in order to be an athlete, you have to be active and fit and mm-hmm. eat well.
Absolutely.
And so starting early and have a program in the elementary schools that just encourages kids to kind of count their fruits and vegetables, get outside, be active in their classroom.
Awesome.
Just that they are getting a taste of what it feels like to be a pro athlete.
Awesome. And Asia, you actually raised $15,000 for children with cancer and blood disorders. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, I mean, I had two young people that were really, really close to me. They both had leukemia, and they really kind of turned my whole life around. Like, I was like, oh my gosh, you guys are a fan of me. I'm a fan of you guys. Because they're like 10 years old, and I wanted to bring awareness at South Carolina, at our Palmetto Health Children's Hospital. I want to bring awareness to that and also raise money. And it was a huge deal for me because those two were something special to my heart. So just to give back to my hospital in South Carolina with young kids and cancer, because I can only imagine, like, I can't even feel what they've ever felt. So just to give them hope, whether that's just supplying them with toys or like an Xbox, something that I could play with while they're going through chemo, is something that I really wanted to be a part of. So yeah, I had the opportunity to give them a check right before I kind of came out here, which was huge. And just seeing the young people in there and the young kids in there, that was a lot of fun.
Very cool. Winners on the court and off the court, ladies.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
Thanks.
Now, big season coming up. You can still buy tickets. Check out the website at LasVegasAces.com. Mm-hmm. And there's a big game coming up, too. I know you wanted to talk about that, right?
Yeah, the All-Star game is going to be coming up. And how cool is that they'll have it open so you can get 10,000 plus right there at Mandalay Bay, which is an incredible facility. But the Gals open up, I believe, their home openers against the LA Sparks, which is turning into a nice little rivalry.
Yeah.
Certainly is. We're so excited you both came to the show today.
Thank you.
Amazing. And I know you guys are going to do great this season.
Thank
We're excited to watch you guys play. Last year was amazing. And we wish you all the best of luck.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for coming out. Check us out on VegasSportsGirl.com. Again, check us out on social as well. And thank you to our sponsors for our show, Finley Volvo, as well as the Las Vegas Motor Speedway. And my friend, thank you for joining me today.
Tanya, it's been a pleasure. Time, like you said, time flies when you're having fun.
It's awesome. Have a wonderful day. Stay dry and be safe out there. Go Knights, go!